And I thought what we would do for here at the beginning was go over a little study of Paul's visits to both Ephesus and Troas, since right here of where we are, he intended after visiting the South Galatian congregations that he had evangelized in the first missionary journey, he intended to just keep going straight west and going to Asia Minor, which Ephesus is the principal city, maybe the largest city here of Asia Minor. So that's what he intended to do. But the Holy Spirit blocked him. So then they went up here north after they went through Phrygia and went to Mysia, I guess obviously on the east side of Mysia, and wanted to go on north to Bithynia. But then the Spirit blocked them there. And just looking at this map, that's something that I had not put together. But Nicaea is here in the province of Bithynia, which years later they had this. This is several hundred years AD, maybe like, I don't know, 400, 500, 600 years AD, that I'm not real sure when, but they had this Council of Nicaea to try to see which books of the Bible that they were going to, which books and letters they were going to put in the Bible as inspired word, and which they were not, just call them either history books or fable tales, and not put them in. But anyway, that in Bithynia is Nicaea, where they had a council some hundreds of years into the future. Oh, that ended up giving us the books of the Bible that we have today. But anyway, but the Spirit blocked Paul from going, Paul and company from going there. So here they were in Mysia. So they go straight to this port city called Troas. And as Kaufman will say in his commentary here, that Troas is the location or area of Troy, of Trojan horse fame, of the ancient past with the Greeks. But anyway, so Troas and Troy, and the names are very similar. The TRO is both the same in Troas and Troy, and it's the ending that's just a little bit different. And what I could find on the internet is that Troas is more like maybe the county, and Troy was the actual city. So anyway, but here Paul and company go to Troas here for the first time, and they meet and are introduced to, obviously, the writer of this book of Acts and the book of Luke. And of course, his name was Luke. So this is where they met Luke. He lived here. And then, since they had been blocked from going to Asia Minor and to Bithynia, here they were sitting at Troas, just in what I figure that Paul, okay, well, we'll just evangelize right here at Troas. Maybe this is obviously the fields are white into harvest here too. And but didn't have to wait long, because the Spirit sent Paul a message at night, a vision of some sort of a Macedonian man that said, "Come over here to Macedonia and help us." And so that told Paul that's exactly where we're going. And Luke decides he wants to go with them, so he joins them. That's in verse 10, that he changes the narrative from they to us and we. So he joined them and sailed over here to Macedonia, to Europe and Philippi. And then Luke would end up staying at Philippi for a number of years, maybe 5, 7, 8 years, a long time. He stayed. He did not leave after Paul and company leave Philippi. Luke stays behind and evangelizes for many years here. But Luke tells us nothing about what he did. He's following the chronicles of Paul and never mentions himself. Okay, so this is the beginnings of the second missionary journey. Then Paul and company go all the way through Greece. And then on their return trip home, back to Antioch, the congregation that was sending them out, they do stop by. I guess Paul probably thought, well, you know, we were blocked from going to any of these seven cities of Asia, but here Ephesus is a port city right here on the coast, and they were already on a boat. Let's stop by is probably what he was thinking. Let's stop by and see if the Spirit blocks us this time. We were blocked at the beginning of this journey. Let's see if we're blocked on the backside. And they were not. But he does not stay there long at Ephesus. It's a short time. But during this second missionary journey, he had run into a husband and wife named Aquila and Priscilla, who what we mostly know them for is that they taught Apollos the way more accurately is how Luke states that. And so he taught them the truth and about the gospel and helped. He was only educated on John's baptism and whatever John had taught. And he did not know about the way of salvation. So they taught him more accurately. That's what Aquila and Priscilla are most well known for. But they also join Paul and company as they go to Ephesus. And Paul leaves Aquila and Priscilla right here at Ephesus to work here, while he's only there a short time, and then Paul leaves and ends up going back to Jerusalem, and then ultimately finishes up at Antioch and tells them of all the great things that happened here in Greece, and that the Spirit sent him a message to go over here in Europe, and so excited about all of that that he had never planned. He'd only planned just to evangelize in this modern-day Turkey, and in this region all in here, and he never, I guess it never even entered his mind to go over here to Europe, but that's what the Holy Spirit wanted him to do. So that's what he did. So then, after he'd spent some time here in Antioch, he decided and talked with Silas, and hey, let's go around and evangelize again. So here it is, the third time, starting the third missionary journey. So, from here, they travel right, they kind of backtrack just like they did on the second missionary journey, going through all these congregations of South Galatia that he wrote the book of Galatians to. Here, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia. So he went through those congregations and then went to Ephesus. Now, at Ephesus, he stayed an extended period of time. It was 2 years, is what Luke said, that he taught in this school of Tyrannus. And it is not known, nothing was ever recorded. Luke doesn't give us anything other than this, just mentioning the school of Tyrannus is where he taught for 2 years. And history doesn't ever write anything about this. But now the name is in Greek the root word of the English word we get of tyrant or tyranny. So it was like the school of tyranny, which anyway, we'll look at that more, but Coughlin really didn't know what to do with that. But anyway, that was the name. It was a school of tyranny, unless this man, there was a man's name maybe that was Tyrannus, but if so, then his parents named him Tyranny, like he was a tyrant or something. So anyway, it's not known about that, but that's coming in the future. But anyway, Paul stayed here in Ephesus for 2 full years teaching at this school of Tyrannus. And, great things. The gospel spread well. Now, it's never mentioned by Luke that he ever left Ephesus here to go to any of these other six congregations in Asia. But Luke does said that the gospel was spread to these other six cities in Asia, and so congregations were forming, and rather quickly. So that definitely here in Asia, the field was white unto harvest. And so anyway, Paul was, after staying here some 2 years and maybe longer, he taught at the school for 2 years. And he may have been in Ephesus outside of the school longer than that. But what eventually happened is he had taught so much against the idolatry and making all of the idols here in this city. And this was a big hub of metallurgy and metalwork here in Ephesus. And you had a bunch of silversmiths, coppersmiths, all that were making these idols. And there, of course, it was a big business. People were paying big dollars to buy all these idols. And Paul taught completely against all these Greek and Roman gods that they were building these idols to. And so people stopped wanting to purchase them. Paul was so successful at this, and it started hurting the silversmith idol business. And so they complain to the magistrates, and they get Paul and company run out of Ephesus. So then they leave Ephesus. They go through Troas, and I'm not aware of anything that we know. I think basically he just went to Troas to get on the a boat and then go on to Europe. But while he's here at the school of Tyrannus at Ephesus, that's when he writes 1 Corinthians to the congregation here at Corinth that he had visited and taught, and Christians were baptized, people were baptized, became Christians here at Corinth. So now they had a congregation here. Well, while he was at Ephesus for the 2 years at this school of Tyrannus, he wrote 1 Corinthians. And at the end of this, and this is all at the beginning of the third missionary journey, and at the very end of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16, that's where he told the congregation at Corinth to start saving up their money for the poor Christians in Jerusalem that were suffering through this severe drought that was first prophesied in Acts chapter 11 by the prophet Agabus. And now it's gotten very severe by this time of this third missionary journey. And so he's going, that's the primary purpose of this trip, was to raise funds for these poor saints in Jerusalem. So while he's here, at teaching for this 2 years at Ephesus, he writes the letter to Corinth to tell them to start saving up money, and so they don't have to save it up whenever he comes. He can gather up the funds and then leave, and which is ultimately what he did. And also what he mentions in here is he had also commanded the congregations of Galatia, right here, these Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch from the first missionary journey that he mentioned, visited also on the second and third, that he had written to them. Now, we don't have that letter that he wrote commanding them also to save up funds so when he came by, he could gather those funds up to take to Jerusalem. But that's what he did here. So when he's run out of town of Ephesus by the silversmiths, then he goes to Troas, gets on a boat, goes back to Europe and Greece, and start in Macedonia. That's the northern part of Greece. And then he goes all through these towns that he had gone before with the congregations, and he just was there a short time just to gather up funds, and then he was leaving. But then on his return trip, they stop by Troas again. And what Kaufman mentioned is, obviously they landed on a Monday because of Luke's wording that they had to wait 7 whole days to assemble with the saints on the first day of the week to break bread. So obviously they got there on a Monday. They just missed the first day of the week. And so they had to stay 7 days because he wanted to assemble with the saints here at Troas, with the congregation here. And that's the famous account here on the back end of the third missionary journey, where they assembled on a Saturday night after 6 p.m., but according to Hebrew time, that was the first day of the week. But first they assembled there, and Paul preached sometime after 6 p.m. all the way to midnight. But then he was interrupted through his preaching by the young boy Eutychus that fell out of the window on the upper floor, the loft of the upper room that they were in, and he fell to his death. So then Paul went down, and God, through Paul, raised him from the dead here at Troas. And then after they raised him from the dead and thanked God and rejoiced for raising this young boy from death, went back up to the upper room, and now it was after midnight at this point. So both by Hebrew time and by Roman time, this was after midnight on Sunday morning. So now this was the first day of the week, either way that you calculate it, Hebrew or Roman time. So then it was only after midnight, now being the full first day of the week on Sunday morning, that's when they partook of the Lord's Supper. So they didn't do it on a partake of the Lord's Supper on what we would even call a Saturday night. And so they took the Lord's Supper, but then Paul wasn't finished. He was only interrupted by Eutychus falling out. That then after the Lord's Supper, after midnight, then he continued speaking again, and he spoke all the way to daylight. And so he spoke potentially the most of 12 hours from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. on a Saturday night, Sunday morning. And then once daylight hit, then Paul and company leave Troas, get on a boat, and they're headed back to Jerusalem. But on their way down on this boat, they're going right by the port city of Ephesus, and Paul wanted to contact them, but due to the deep ties that he had with them, that he built with them over that 2 years at the school of Tyrannus, he knew that he could not stop at Ephesus due to time restraints, because he was in a time crunch to get back here at Jerusalem. He wanted to be here for the Passover. And for one thing, you never know what bad weather and all that you may get into. Sea voyage was very perilous back in those days. And from what I hear, even today, they have shipwrecks and all. And so anyway, he didn't know what that was. So he was in a time crunch and a push. He wanted to get to Jerusalem for the Passover. So he could not, he didn't feel like he could get away from them quick enough. So he did not stop at Ephesus. But he did leave word and send a message to the Ephesian elders to meet him in this other port city just south of Ephesus at Miletus. So they did dock there at Miletus, and it's something like 20 or 30 miles south. And so those Ephesian elders walked down to Miletus and met Paul and company here at the port, and they had a nice talk, and it was a heartfelt and a tear-filled farewell is what he was giving to the Ephesian elders, and right here at Miletus. And so then after that, they got back on the boat and then on their way and went to Jerusalem to deliver those funds that they had collected on this third missionary journey to the poor Christians in Jerusalem. Any questions or comments up to this point? Okay, this was the third missionary journey. Now, it wasn't the last and final. It's the last and final with the book of Acts. That's how the book of Acts closes. Then, from this third missionary journey, Paul is arrested here in Jerusalem. He's in prison for 2 years at Caesarea, and he appeals to King Agrippa I appeal to Caesar to go to Rome. I'm going right over your head. And so he said, well, you appeal to Caesar, and to Caesar you will go. And so then he was on the boat and made it to Rome. And here in Rome, he was 2 years in house arrest, in prison, and chained to soldiers, Roman soldiers, 2 years here. So 4 years imprisonment. And that's the way that Luke ends the book of Acts. But now, the rest of the story is 2 Timothy chapter 4. Luke is with Paul. But Paul writes to Timothy and said that he has left his cloak and his study materials, parchment and, his notes or something. So his study material and notes, he has left in Troas. And with some unnamed, obviously a Christian man, and he gives his name, but we don't know anything about him other than this mentioning, but he is imploring and asking Timothy to go to Troas, to this man's house, and get the coat. And there's three things that I forgot the exact wording, but it's like his text, Greek text or something, and parchments. It's like study material whatever else. Maybe it's the materials and letters that he had written or something. But anyway, it was all of his written material. He wanted that plus his heavy coat, his heavy winter coat. What the supposition is, see, we're not told anything other than that, is that sometime after the book of Acts, he had gone here to Troas, and he got arrested by the Roman Empire. Caesar had put an order out for his arrest, and they found him in Troas, and they arrested him. And so that is the explanation for why he left behind his cloak, his heavy coat, and his study materials. Otherwise, he never would have left those things ever behind. So he got arrested, and he was in Roman custody. And this is the famous, well-known chapter and passage of 1 Timothy chapter 4 that just previous to Paul asking Timothy to get him the coat and these study materials, that's when he said he has fought the good fight, he has finished the race, he has kept the faith. Yeah, what did I say? 2 Timothy. This is all 2 Timothy chapter 4. All 2 Timothy chapter 4. And but that is the famous passage where he said that he's fought the good fight, he's finished the race, and he's kept the faith. And which, you know, it's he's seeing death is on the horizon, and that he's done everything he could do. And he's coming, obviously the realization is coming in that he's going to get the death penalty. And we don't ever hear anything from the Holy Spirit in the scriptures about how he died. But whatever kind of historians or tradition that's left behind is that was, he wrote that right before his death. And yes, Caesar put him to death, and he was killed, either beheading or something. But he was given the death penalty. So those words are very heartfelt and ring right through. He knew his impending demise. And that is the last mentioning of either Ephesus or Troas, was after the book of Acts, obviously unknown by any other scriptures or anything related to us. He made his way back to Troas. And then the best explanation is that he was arrested by the Roman Empire at Troas, and he wasn't able to get his cloak or his study materials. So he wrote 2 Timothy while he was imprisoned at Rome to please go by and get these three things and bring them to me. And there were other requests and all, but he did mention that Luke was with him. So Luke stayed with him to the end. That's how faithful of a companion. He does mention, he asked for Timothy to bring John Mark too, or tell him to come because he wants John Mark. So that tells us by the end, everything's come full circle. They had this falling out because of John Mark. on the second, the beginning of the second missionary journey. But years later, maybe 15, maybe 20 years later, all of that is probably closer to 15 years. After that time, everything was smoothed over, and now Paul is fully embracing him when death is at death's door, and wanting John Mark to be with him too, we're not told. We're not told if anything of that happened. I'm assuming it probably did. Now, we don't know if it made it there in time. Now, I am confident. Number one, obviously, the letter got to Timothy. And it doesn't take much to suppose that Timothy did everything to the best of his ability to follow those instructions exactly to a T that he was asked by Paul. And so I'm assuming he made the best effort. Now, whether he made it I don't even know where he was, but make it to Troas and then make it to Rome before he was put to death, we're never told. So we don't know what happened about that. But that is the end. We don't know any more about, although it does seem like, and I'd have to look into that more, but it does seem like after the book of Acts, maybe Paul alludes in other letters that he wrote that he did go back to Ephesus. But we know that he did, after Acts, go back to Troas. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to leave his coat and his study materials at Troas. And they're not far apart, a couple hundred miles or so, and relatively easy boat ride in those days to go, if not, but he probably walked. But ultimately with 1 Timothy chapter 4 is the ending. Now that you mentioned, did I say that again? It's not 1 Timothy. Forget 1 Timothy. It's only 2 Timothy is what we're talking about here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. But he does also in 2 Timothy chapter 4 mention that there was Demetrius or whatever his name was, he'd done him harm. That Demas had done him harm and forsook him. So who knows? I don't know. A possible thought might be he was arrested here at Troas. Well, Demas bailed on him instead of staying with him. Maybe that's a supposition on my part, but he did forsake him. Paul clearly stated that. However, that forsaking was. Yeah, he loved the present world, you know, and that's still in the line of he didn't want to go to prison to be put to death. He wanted to stay alive, so he bailed and was able to get away. Or maybe he betrayed Paul. Who knows? He might have even turned him in. Said, hey, you're looking for him? Give me immunity, and I'll let you know where he is, because he's the one you're after. It could have been something like that, but he betrayed him some way or another. But then he had good praise for others. We probably need to look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's a very good chapter, and it's somewhat of a solemn tone, because I believe that's the last letter that he ever wrote to anyone. Okay, so there's another one did him harm. And then he had praise for others. No, it's just these letters. Just these letters, these epistles is all that we have. As far as in the scriptures, now, who knows? You know, denominations through the centuries, they can come up with anything and may have, you know, the Vatican may have all kinds of books or libraries or whatnot. We don't know I don't know, but no, according to by the Holy Spirit, we have none of that. Only these letters that he wrote to people. Okay.
Very effective.